You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What is the place of children in church? Are they the church of tomorrow? Are they church of today? What is the place of children in church?
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Joining us today, Professor Jared Steak. He's Assistant Professor of Lutheran Teacher Education and Assistant Dean of the College of Education at Concordia University Chicago. Professor Steak, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
You have written an article recently in LEA, and it's a post on the LEA.org website, and it caught my attention as a parent, as an educator, and as a fellow Lutheran, and I wanted to bring attention to that because I appreciate your work as a fellow Lutheran educator. Let's start with your story. What drew you to Lutheran teacher education, particularly at Concordia University Chicago?
Sure. I have a fairly untraditional route into Lutheran education. I went to public schools up through eighth grade and then attended St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, a residential high school in our city. Wonderful experience. And from there, I went to Concordia, Nebraska, and then a master's at Concordia Chicago, and then it ended up teaching and serving here at Concordia Chicago. I start all the way back at my school journey because going to public schools during that same time, I grew up in a Christian household, mother and father who were faithful in their practice and their witness of the faith. But my dad was Lutheran and my mom was Catholic. And I think from a young age, bouncing between those worship experiences, those two different approaches, I had lots of questions. And so that sort of comparative study at a young age prompted me to think about questions in the faith and learning more about that. And so I'm blessed that in high school and college, I had an opportunity to be in a Lutheran school, explore and find answers to many of those questions, which pushed me into serving in Lutheran churches and schools. I was a bit conflicted maybe as an undergrad student. At Concordia, Nebraska, I studied both Lutheran teacher ed and DCE work, in addition to being an Oregon student. And so that journey included serving then as a teacher, as a music director, as a DCE. And so, you know, in hindsight, God was preparing me for my role at Concordia Chicago. I didn't see that coming, but eventually there was a need for someone with, the quote was, a wide variety of commission ministry experiences. And so I stepped from the parish into this work at Concordia, and I love the opportunity to explore the intersection of church and school and learning about the faith in lots of different settings. So a long introduction into kind of how I ended up in this spot, but it's a joy to work with future church workers, helping them explore Lutheran education in all of its various facets.
It really is quite amazing how God forms us into the people we will be, even if we have no idea what's happening in the moment. It's really great to hear your story, and you really seem to enjoy what you're able to do and working with Lutheran teacher education students, diving into what Lutheran education looks like, that place of children in the church. What did you first notice about children being treated in church in general?
I think that growing up really in two different congregations, my Catholic parish and a Lutheran congregation, and then being able to visit many congregations in music tours throughout high school and college, and then internship, field work, serving in different calls, I think that sort of being in many different congregations, I got to see different approaches to welcoming children into the life of the church. And on the side of heaven, we're not perfect. And so some churches were stronger in certain elements of that than others. And that sparked the curiosity and the question of sort of the place of children in the congregation. You know, in my mind, I've come to think of it in terms of it's not segregating children from the rest of the congregation, but how do we support them in being a part of the congregation. And I think sometimes we think of making the congregation accessible to different demographics. I think of maybe our older members. We support them with large print materials. People with mobility issues, we add a ramp, we add an elevator, we design our space in a way to help that population participate fully in the body of Christ. And so to extrapolate that to children, to say, what is it that we can do to help them have a place in the congregation? How do we help them fully participate rather than sort of being an observer on the side? And so to your question of sort of the place of children in the church, I think that's watching those dynamics, seeing congregations that lift up or value children's participation sparked the curiosity and the question about how could more congregations lean into welcoming children in a way that helps them fully participate in the body of Christ.
Speaking of sparking curiosity, what place does this question, this topic have in your own life, both academically and professionally, and also personally mm-hmm. as well? Why is this an important topic to you?
My wife and I have two daughters, and we have a third daughter on the way. So as parents, this is a key question for us. For a church musician, this has been a question. In my professional space, so my academic research is exploring the intersection, really, of Lutheran theology, where we are clear that children through baptism are full members of the body of Christ, members of the priesthood of all believers, and the intersection of that theology with our intergenerational liturgical worship practices in the LCMS, where we worship side by side people of varying ages, social demographics, and that intergenerational experience that is unique as we gather to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. And sort of the third element of that is educational and developmental theory, and how we've studied the ways in which we might grow and develop as young people. Sort of as we look at the intersection of all three of those, how does a child learn about God during their time in a worship service with other age groups? A sermon, you know, what is the reading level of the sermon? What is the vocabulary that's included in the scripture readings for the day? What is the rhythm of the liturgy? Does it repeat from week to week so that it could be memorized by a young child? So all of that swirl of educational milestones for young people, the theological truth that a young person has faith through their baptism, and then this intergenerational experience with people of all ages and stages of life. What does that look like for a church to value children in all of that? So that is my... I don't have all the answers in that space, but that's the question that rattles in my mind and where I spend my time studying and exploring.
What are some things about a child's value being in the church that people may not think about, may not consider? If we're all gathered for an hour on Sunday morning, you know, we may not think about these things in a specific way. What are some of those things about a child's value in church?
I like the way you framed that question, and my answer is going to sound rather unprofound. I think, you know, returning to trying to view the experience through the eyes of a child, and I mean that quite literally, they're short compared to our adult counterparts. You know, can they see? They read all of the materials. Do we have artwork that supports the materials for children who do not yet read? So that would be things I've seen in congregations where they have booster seats. So their family can sit in the pew, but they're slightly elevated. Now they can see. Does a church have a section of pews for young families? Is that in the back row? You know, can we actually see from that space? What is the sort of timing of different things? We're here in the season of Lent, and I think of service times and young children, and we think of meal times and bedtime. Has the church thought about their schedule in a way that accommodates a family participating with children of a young age? I was talking and discussing this with someone who quipped, you know, maybe a question that's helpful to ask ourselves is, have we made it more difficult for a family to come into our church than we've made it to make a trip to Target, in terms of, you know, thinking that the cart is there and has a way that we can help move our children through the store. There's a family restroom. There's, you know, whatever the pieces would be that sort of we find out in other spaces that have tried to think through assisting families through life. You know, how do we think about that in terms of our worship space, our church, that everything from the scheduling, the seating, the space, again, the artwork, many and many more ideas, but I'll leave it there for now.
Sure. The old Adam in all of us, especially in a tired parent, can come up with all kinds of excuses, reasons to avoid receiving the gifts of God because they may think that it's inconvenient or something is complicated about it, too complicated, and it's too hard to figure out. But I'm interested in hearing more on your thoughts about that in just a moment. We're going to continue our conversation with Professor Steek about children's place in worship, children's place in the church in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Professor Jared Steek. He's Assistant Professor of Lutheran Education, Lutheran Teacher Education, and Assistant Dean for the College of Education at Concordia University Chicago. We're talking about the place of children in the church and perhaps how we've misvalued children in the life of our congregation in the church. Let's talk about what it means specifically for Lutherans. What is important to understand in Lutheran theology about children in the church?
That when we celebrate a baptism in a Lutheran church, it is a unique experience that baptism takes place in the context of a divine service with the gathered people of God, with the congregation. It is typically not something done privately after a service or at another time. The body of Christ, that congregation, is present and participates in that experience, that sacrament, that welcoming of a child into the body of Christ. And I think that is a beautiful thing to experience and a great place to start, because we think from this public moment when we have welcomed a child into that particular family, that particular congregation, they're now a family member. They're part of the congregation. They're not a future member, a member in training, someone to sort of observe or participate in the future. They are a member now. And so they have a lot to learn. They have a lot to experience. And I think that is the place that we can perhaps grow and expand, thinking about how we support those young people. But back to your question about sort of this within our Lutheran understanding of children's place in the congregation, I'd like to compare that to a family. So when a family brings a new child into the home, that child doesn't know the vocabulary of the dinner conversation. They're not able to say the prayers that the family says, but that doesn't mean they're excluded or sent to a different place to have their meal or to sort of be prepared to then come to the family table later. They're at the family table, and they gradually, through repetition, are able to participate. You know, maybe they get amen in the prayer, then they get parts of the prayer, and then now they're asking for things at the table. They're practicing manners. And so I think that analogy can be helpful for us with children in the worship space, that they may get one or two words of the liturgy. They may repeat portions of it. That experience is sometimes messy. Sometimes we shout out at the wrong time. Again, back to the analogy, perhaps the peas go to the floor because we spill our plate. But that is sort of expected as someone is welcomed into the family. And so sort of, could that be our mindset as we welcome someone into the family of God, into the congregation? Yes, they need support. They're learning. They are practicing. There will be imperfect moments in that, but to embrace that as part of our congregational life and part of our, as we, you know, maybe we could say, parenting of new members in the congregation.
I really like that analogy, that image. There's a lot of things that track between those things of how it's a beautiful thing and it's a learning experience and also something that gets messy at times, but we learn together. And part of that baptismal liturgy is we welcome you in the name of the Lord. So like we're welcoming that the child or the person into the congregation, and then we walk alongside them as they learn. So it's making me think now. I like that. So let's bring scripture into this. How does scripture address children?
You know, that is a great segue. We see children throughout scripture and we see Jesus interact with them. We can go specific examples of that, but I'm going to go big picture for a moment. In some of my work, I was sort of stunned when I found that there are 119 times in the New Testament in the Annual Translation, but in the ESV, children, the word children shows up 119 times in the New Testament. And they are part of the conversation in Scripture about God's gifts to his people, who his people are, and who is part of that family. And so I think Scripture is pretty clear that children are active, full members of the body of Christ. I think it's important to look to Scripture to see how Jesus treats children and his respect for them and you know, sort of the place he gives them in his times. Yes, clear theological, clear scriptural connections to children being a core part of the body of Christ.
We've talked a little bit about baptism. Any more that you want to say about the place of understanding baptism in a child's place in church?
Yes, I think that it's a beautiful thing that a child is baptized, brought into the family of God, welcomed into a congregation. For many infants, for many that happens in infancy, I think about going back to that family analogy at the dinner table, how many repetitions it takes for someone to understand the pattern that happens at home with, you know, three meals a day and how do we use our silverware, et cetera. But if we compare that to baptism, they were baptized at an age that perhaps the child doesn't remember it. But how many times do we need to talk about it, remind about it, celebrate it, visit the baptismal font, sing about it, that baptism should be seen beyond the initial moment that it happens. This child, it's great that they experienced this gift and that they were welcomed into the family of God. Now, can the family of God help continue to unpack that, remind that child of that, and explain it over throughout their childhood so that that becomes core to their identity, that they are a baptized child of God?
So that baptism brings the child into God's family, into the life of the congregation. How could you see worship incorporating children more into the service? I know you've mentioned some things, but what is that? Is that overarching, vision of having children incorporated into worship?
You know, that our sanctuaries are all different. Dynamics for each congregation are unique. Context matters. So I don't mean to give prescriptions to congregations of what to do, but I think the framework is to think about, are there barriers to children participating that we could perhaps lower or eliminate? And so when we think of adults participating in the service, how might a child participate in a similar way? So I'll give just a couple examples. I served in a congregation where during the offering, the plates would be passed down the pew. There was a conversation about teaching children to tithe when the family gave electronically because nothing was going in the offering plate. So the plate always came down the row, but mom and dad didn't do anything with it. And so the church developed these little cards that were going to say something about our gift and a tithe, and that families could take those out of the pew and put them in kind of as part of that. And in the process of developing that, our early childhood teacher said, well, that's great, but a child can't read the card. And so the conversation expanded to, could that card have some artwork that helped show giving a gift, show a financial contribution, show God giving us gifts. So they worked out a way to sort of, you know, one type of card had nice imagery, one explained giving our first fruits to God. And then some families, their children picked these up. And so again, isolated example, but the point is looking for ways to have children participate, have children understand, and remove barriers that would prevent that. I think another one would be that in our worship planning, we think about the liturgy, we think about musical choices. The hymnal is a robust repository of beautiful gifts for the church to sing and proclaim God's word and his gifts to us. Thinking through how often we repeat something so that children can try them again and learn them through repetition. Thinking about the refrain or chorus or sections that could be repeated so that children could memorize them and participate. I'll give one example of that. When I served as director of parish music in a congregation, our school students would often sing in worship services and help lead portions of the liturgy or anthems. And we found that with our youngest children, sometimes we sort of did what we called a reverse anthem. The priest might only learn the chorus. And so then the congregation, it was in the bulletin that they would sing the stanza and the preschool were singing the chorus each time, or an older group of students would sing the words that changed and the younger students would sing that part that came around again and again. So just looking for ways that we can take baby steps as the youngest people in the congregation practice and participate in whatever opportunities we can provide for them.
You have certainly given us plenty to think about, plenty to consider as we think about children in the congregation and recognizing that by virtue of their baptism, they are important children of God, members of the congregation, and what we can do to perhaps reduce or lower, as you said, some of those barriers that might make it challenging for them to participate in worship, to be included in worship in ways that perhaps we haven't thought about. Any resources that you'd point us to help us consider this topic further?
Yes. CPH has some wonderful resources for schools or for families to explain and introduce worship and the liturgy to children. There's one resource from CPH called Whisper Whisper, Learning About Church. It helps to give families some ideas about how to talk about the routine and the ritual of our worship services, the liturgy. There's another series from CBH called About the Lutheran Church. And one of those is specifically about worship and about what is happening there. There's an older resource called Parenting from the Pew. Dr. Morgenthaler years ago prepared a book called Right from the Start. So I would just encourage parents and educators to look to CPH and to look to materials that would help unpack the liturgy for a family. In this work, I have found that some adults who are now parents of young children have found themselves learning a great deal about the liturgy as they have started to unpack it for their children. And so this can be perhaps kind of a topic that your family embraces for family devotions, family Bible study for a time period. It could be looking at what happens at worship and how to include everyone in the family who participates.
Our guest today, Professor Jared Steak. He's assistant professor, Lutheran teacher education, and assistant dean for College of Education at Concordia University Chicago. He's written an article for Lutheran Education Association. You can find it at lea.org. We'll share the link in our program notes today as well. Professor Steak, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me. Great to join you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.